God's word. Let's pray and ask God to bless this to us and to use it in our lives. Lord, thank you for your word, even for the portions of your word that at first glance may strike us as a little mundane and irrelevant to us, but we know that, Lord, all of your word is relevant. All of your word is used by you in our lives and teaches us what is useful and good. It is helpful to us, Lord. So we pray that you would be at work this morning through these closing remarks of Paul to breathe new life into us and to grow us up in our faith and to lead lives that are obedient to you as we trust in your gospel. We pray it in Jesus' great name. Amen. Have you ever looked around and seen things that other people are doing and been struck with the question as to whether your life really has much significance? If what you do really matters, if it matters whether or not you give, if it matters whether or not you serve, if it matters whether or not you pray, aren't we all at some certain times, just a lot of times out of nowhere, uncertain about our significance? You think about missionaries serving in some difficult region of the world and actually accomplishing some great things. You look maybe just around the corner and you see something a friend or a family member is doing for the Lord and how the Lord is using them. And you say, wow, their life is significant. But then there's me. And I don't see that I'm making much of a difference. I don't see how I'm connected to what God is doing in the world. But through the details of what Paul lays out here, the details of his travel plans, his what he's saying to the church of Rome about his visit to them, his plans in this prayer request, it actually gives us a glimpse into how ordinary Christians and ordinary churches, people just like you and me, can play a significant and powerful role in God's kingdom. And in short, what we learn is that we matter. And what we do matters. You matter, and what you do matters. Not for your salvation, but because of your salvation. And specifically in this passage, we see that because God has chosen to use us, because God chooses to work through us, our giving to the work of the Lord and our prayer for God to work is used by God himself. It's used by God to deliver spiritual blessing and to deliver physical blessing. It's used, in other words, in life-changing ways. And so let's start this morning by noting that the fact that our giving to the Lord, our giving to the work of the Lord, is used by him in powerful ways. By our giving money and resources, we actually participate in the life-saving spread of the gospel. And it's found in our passage when Paul says to those in Rome, I've been hindered from coming to you for a while because he's been off preaching the gospel places. But he says, my work in those regions is done, so I'm about to come to you and leave by way of you to Spain. Look at verse 24 and 28 again with me. He says, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you. Which is another way of saying what? I'm coming to see you in Rome, and one of the reasons I'm coming is I need you to send me to Spain. I need your money. I need your giving. I need your hospitality. I need your help to carry on the mission of God. And then he mentions it later in verse 28 again. He says, when therefore I have completed this and delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. He's expressing clearly a need he has for the saints in Spain, for the saints in Rome to help him to Spain. He needs them. Now you say, well, okay, yeah, so he needs their money. What's so striking about that? Well, think about who the Apostle Paul is and what has been made clear about his life. Notice what else characterizes the ministry of the Apostle Paul. In fact, what Paul has just said about himself in verses prior to the ones we read indicates that Paul was not a man that was just left to the help of those around him solely, but he was a man that was used by God in supernatural ways to do supernatural things. Look back up at verse 14 through 21. Let's read again what we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Let's look at what characterizes the Apostle Paul. He says, I myself am satisfied about you, brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God. So Paul is saying, I've written this letter to you as I'm functioning in ministry of the gospel. But then notice how he describes his ministry, verse 17. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. This is a man who says, Christ has accomplished things through me to bring people to saving faith. Then notice verse 19. By the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Paul has just said, I am a man who does signs and wonders by the very power of God. And because of those signs and wonders, because of the power of God working through me, I've been successful to spread the gospel all around the world. And it's that man, filled with that power, that says to the saints in Rome, I need you. I need you to send me on to Spain. Shouldn't we ask, why does he need the saints in Rome? Is it because God's power in his life has run out? Is it because God is somehow lacking money? Couldn't it be the case that God, who performs all these signs and wonders through the Apostle Paul, just have it be that every time the Apostle Paul wakes up in the morning, oh, his wallet is full. And he's got all that he needs for the day. You remember the miracle of Jesus where he sent out his disciple to pull in a fish and open the fish's mouth, and there was the money he needed. Right? Pretty striking. I don't know why the fish was, but you know, anyway, it was the major point of that passage is that God, he can have a fish barf up money at you. He's not short on cash or ability to provide in supernatural ways, right? So why did the church in Rome need to give? Why does Paul need them? Well, one simple reason, but it's an amazing and beautiful thing. God has seen fit to use us to accomplish his saving work. Paul needs the saints in Rome to give to his work so that the mission of God can continue. Not because God is short on cash, but because the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills has seen fit in his goodness to use us to accomplish his work. God has decided amazingly to bring us into his work and to use us to further the gospel. So from one perspective, we need to look at what God is doing in the world, and we need to say, God does not need me. And some people maybe really need to hear that more than others, right? Some people you might be interacting with, and you might just need to say, hey, you need to calm down a little bit. God doesn't need you. That's a true thing. But it's also the case that the God who doesn't need us has amazingly said, I'm going to use you. And when Paul talks to the Corinthians about his ministry, if you flip over just a few pages in your Bible, if you're in Romans 16, just flip over a few pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, listen to the way he describes his ministry and the ministry of Apollos to the Corinthians, who needed to hear about the ministry of God and ministers of God, because these were people that were falling into, we might say, some hero worship, and they were picking their favorite apostles. And so the apostle Paul comes along and says, hey, you need to know what's going on with our ministry of being apostles. He says in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 3, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. Servants, we're just servants, but we're servants through whom you believed. So we are used, but it's as the Lord assigned to each. You see the picture? God is working through. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Now listen to this. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. From one perspective, servants of the Lord are nothing because it's God who gives the growth. But then he turns around and he says this. Let's read on. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. They're actually worth something. They're nothing, but their work is worth something. Why? For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Did you hear that? We are God's fellow workers. We are nothing. But at the same time, because of God, his gracious choice to use us, he has made us his fellow workers. And he works through us. Our work matters because by God's grace, we participate in his work. By giving our money and resources, we participate in the life-saving spread of the gospel. And this is true in terms of the spiritual blessings that God is advancing throughout the world in the preaching and ministry of the gospel. It's also true in physical blessings and provision, providing for the poor, in terms of food and housing. And that's brought out in our passage, because Paul says there's one thing he's got to do before he goes to Rome. And what is it? It's to deliver the collection from the church, for example, in Corinth and other churches, collection from Gentile churches, to deliver it to the suffering saints, the Jewish saints in the city of Jerusalem. The reason for that was because of the political turmoil that had been occurring in Jerusalem. The Romans had cracked down, and at this time, there was massive suffering and poverty occurring in the city of Jerusalem. And Paul says, I've got to bring the collection from the Gentile churches and give it to those saints. And this was a big deal for the Apostle Paul. I mean, he was pausing his ministry of the gospel to go and deliver this collection. Why? Because it was so important. Because God cares not only about our spiritual needs, he cares about our physical needs, and God uses our giving. The saints in Jerusalem were being provided for, not manna from heaven, but the giving of fellow believers to their need. So Paul puts it as a top priority for him to, to accomplish. It manifested the gospel, the unity of the church with the Gentiles, fellowshipping and giving to the Jews. It shined forth the grace of the gospel and the union of the church. But it also needed to happen so that the people in Jerusalem could eat. Now just think about that for a minute, how significant then this collection was. If people didn't get it, they could starve. They would certainly suffer. Because God was absent? No. Just the opposite, because God was active. Active, though, through his church. What we do matters because we actually participate in God providing. We participate in God's provision, both spiritual and material. And the same could be said of our prayers. We participate in giving money, but perhaps even more importantly, we participate in prayer. So Paul, after describing his plans and the need for the church in Rome to send him to Spain and his delivering of the collection to the church in Jerusalem, he has a prayer request in verse 30. Notice how it opens. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Notice how he urges them. By our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, I urge you to pray with me. If prayer was just a way for us to sort of privately express our affection to God and for the saints around us, if knowing that someone is praying for you was just sort of indication that, oh, they care about me. Oh, that's really nice. In other words, if praying for someone was just synonymous with, I thought about you today, right? I thought about you today. Would Paul urge them to pray by saying, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, I urge you to strive together with me? No, what he wouldn't. He would have said, you know, it'd be really nice if you'd pray for me too. It fills me with comfort that you care. But instead, he's like, you've got to do this. You've got to do this with me so that my mission will be successful. I urge you in the name of Jesus. And by the love the Spirit generates, pray. The reason Paul did that was because he knows prayer changes things. It doesn't change God, but it's used by God to change the world. It's one of the things God uses. He involves us in his work through prayer. Like our giving, prayer makes a difference because God has chosen to use it. Now, he knows it. He knows what we're going to pray for before we do, right? Knows what we're going to pray for before we do. And he still says, your prayer is powerful. He still says, do it. Because he wants us to be involved in what he's doing. It matters. It matters that we pray. Now, this is both encouraging and correcting, isn't it? It's encouraging because it means we're not just on this ball spinning through the cosmos, you know, waiting out our 70 years until we go to heaven and nothing we do really matters or makes a difference. I go to work, I eat, you know, to bring home the bacon, but if God wanted to, he could just deliver it straight into the pantry. So I don't really understand the point. You know, it's not, it matters because it means God in his all sovereign goodness has said, I make you matter. And what you do on a day-to-day basis is powerful. It affects things. Your work matters. Your giving matters. Your prayer matters. Do you realize that means in our everyday lives, we are connected to things that will be celebrated for eternity? Oh, that's so encouraging, isn't it? It's also, though, of course, correcting. It's correcting because this is certainly not how I see my giving all the time. It's not how I think about, for one thing, my money. I'm often very silly in how I want to spend my money. And what I mean is simply, you know, if I've got an extra $200 laying around and you might need to add a zero or throw in a few more zeros, you know, but if I've got an extra $200 laying around, I find myself at times thinking, well, you know, I could send this to those missionaries that sent us the newsletter last week, or I could spend it on something kind of really fun and cool, right? I mean, I could do something with the money that would be like really exciting. And this passage comes along and it says, really exciting. It's not wrong to spend your $200 on, you know, taking your kids to Disney. Well, it's not wrong to spend your $200 taking your kid to a fun park, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But isn't our attitude with that often wrong, though, where we think, well, this is like a really good use of money. We're excited about spending our money in that way, but we do it reluctantly merely out of duty when it comes to missions. Instead of saying, well, we could go to Knott's or we could send this to missionaries and God is going to use it to advance the gospel. Wow, that would be significant. I could spend my time watching another episode, or we could pray for 10 minutes as a family, knowing that 10 minutes is actually going to make a difference around the world. It's going to change things. It's convicting, isn't it? So at this point, we need to remember something of great importance. And we'll close with this. As we're encouraged by this fact that our giving and prayer is significant, but also exposed as sinners. Because we don't think along these lines. We don't give along these lines. We don't pray along these lines. We need to remember that our giving and our prayer matters, but not for our salvation. Our giving and prayer matters because of our salvation. Meaning we do not give, we can never fall into the trap of giving to get right with God, of thinking that by our repeated prayer and fasting, we might atone for our sins and climb back into his favor, or that we need to give to maintain our acceptance with God. Not at all. We need to remember that our giving and prayer matter, but not for our salvation. Rather, they flow from our salvation. And this is found in our passage, just implicitly but clearly, in a couple things Paul says. Look back at verse 29 with me. He says, I know, he's talking to the Romans, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. That could mean that when Paul arrives, he's going to share with them the gospel again, bless them in the fullness of Christ again. More likely, it means that he's saying, when I come to you, we're going to get to enjoy together in fellowship the reality that we share in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. But whichever of those it means, it definitely means this for the Roman church, before you give to me and send me on my way to Spain, before that happens, you are already people who share in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. You see, your giving is not going to secure you blessing from God. It's just the opposite. You are those who have the fullness of the blessing of Christ, and you give out of that blessing. You give because of that blessing. You don't give to get blessed. Now, that message is insidious right now in our communities and around the world. This is something you better pray about this. Missionaries are having to fight this all the time. The lie that we give to get blessing from God. When Paul clearly says, I'm going to show up and we're going to enjoy the fullness of the blessing of God. And then my prayer is that you will then give and send me on my way. Or with prayer. We don't pray our way into God's favor, but rather, what did he say about prayer? I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive with me in your prayers. Experiencing the love that comes to us from the Spirit, we pray out of that. As those who have the Spirit of God, which stands for the down payment of heaven, as those who have the Spirit of God, who is generating in us love, reminding us of God's love, so that we cry out, Abba, Father, and producing in us love for each other, as the Spirit works that love into us, we pray out of that love. We don't pray to gain it. We pray because God has already given it. What you do matters, but not for your salvation. It matters because of your salvation. And how could it be otherwise? Because as Paul taught us earlier in the book, in the letter, how we read earlier in the service, we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. God gives us all things for free in Jesus Christ, and we live out of that riches, those riches and that blessing. And so this is our motivation. And what a motivation it is. What a motivation we have to give and to pray. Out of gratitude for all that God has given to us, out of gratitude that we share in the fullness of the blessing of Christ, we thankfully give and we gladly pray. And on top of that, we know that by that grace, God is saying, I'm going to use it. Your giving matters because I'm going to use it. Your praying matters because I'm going to use it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your grace to us. And we thank you that by your grace to us, we are brought into your mission in the world. And through us, your reconciling work is made known and brought to bear on people because you have given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are your co-workers. We who are on one level and from one angle, nothing, because you are the God who accomplishes it. It's all to your glory. It's all by your power, but amazingly in your grace and power and glory, you include us in the process, and we thank you for that. And Lord, may that really motivate us. May that stir us up to think about how we spend and give and to give ourselves to prayer and to do it joyfully because it matters. And we thank you for all of this because we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.